This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, keeping up with the movers and makers in Cincinnati. But first, while it's common knowledge that bullying can occur in schools, it can also be a problem in the workplace. About 27% of people who have experienced some form of workplace bullying, but many employers deny, discount, or even defend it. Joining us to talk about how to detect, prevent, and resolve workplace bullying are employment attorneys Julie Pugh of Graydon Head Legal Counsel and Mark Mezabov from the law office of Mezabov Butler. You can be part of the discussion at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Julie and Mark, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Mark, well, what's the definition of workplace bullying?
Well, first, I think it's important to understand that there is no formal, technical, legal, official definition of workplace bullying. And that's because workplace bullying so far has pretty much evaded any legal definition because it's not built into any law. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But generally speaking, workplace bullying means mistreatment by someone of an employee in a persistent, continuous basis. And it's usually characterized by abusive behavior, demeaning language. Sometimes it can get physical, but more often than not, it's just rude and crude and insensitive behavior.
So where do you draw the line between joking and kidding around and maybe teasing the new employee and actual bullying?
Well, that's one of the challenges in sorting this out. It's a challenge for management. It's a challenge for the people we see, mostly plaintiffs, in other words, employees who come in and complain about behavior. But one of the first things you're going to be interested in learning is this pervasive? Is it so offensive that it's intolerable to a normally constituted person? And again, all of this becomes very subjective.
And I agree with Mark. He talks about being, you know, intimidating and being hostile towards his employees. There's a professional way to deal with workplace behavior issues, being constructive, dealing with the performance management. And then you can cross over into what's inappropriate behavior in the workplace, but not necessarily illegal. And I think that's where you find the bullying that hasn't gotten into a definition legally. There have been a number of states that have attempted to pass different legislation to deal with workplace bullying, but we haven't seen any of those actually go into effect. What we have seen or what we have relied on is if that pervasive nature of the bullying crosses over into a protected class, and that's where you get into your Title VII, race, sex, national origin, religion, that's when you get into the illegal conduct that we see from hit the courts.
Now, you said no states enacted anything yet. Some states have tried it. Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, have they tried to do this?
To the best of my knowledge, Ohio has not done anything of a legal nature concerning workplace bullying.
I agree with Mark on that. I think there were 10 different states last year that looked at different workplace bullying statutes, but again, none of them have passed.
Julie, is workplace bullying more common in certain types of businesses?
I don't necessarily see it being more common in certain types of businesses. I think it's more dependent on the individual. Oftentimes we see a manager using inappropriate workplace behaviors to conduct performance management by fear. And that's not going to be conducive to any type of workplace environment. I don't necessarily think that you can pick on an industry or a particular type of workplace that's going to see more of that conduct.
It's interesting that before we went on air, we were chatting, the three of us, about schools and not workplace bullying, but school.
Bullying in schools.
School bullying. And adults engage in immature behavior. So there is a lot of immaturity in the workplace, just as there is in the schoolyard and in the schoolhouse. It's everywhere. So wherever people congregate, and I don't know what percentage one would assign to it, you're going to find a group of people who are don't know how to get along with people, haven't learned, or are so insensitive or so overly sensitive that they overreact to normal joking, kidding.
So in answer to the question, is it more common in certain businesses that it's widespread, as I take it?
I think it's widespread. It's a manifestation of personality and situation, I believe.
I think you see less of it in companies that focus on training and delivering the message as to what's appropriate, inappropriate conduct, appropriate, inappropriate performance management. And if you're having those conversations and being open about it in your workplace and addressing it through your performance management, or, you know, having those, knowing where the problem areas may lie, calling it out and being proactive about it, you see it less in those companies than you would companies that aren't dealing with it at all.
You know, there are lots of different euphemisms for workplace bullying. I've heard incivility, personality conflict, disrespect. Why is it so important to identify this for what it is, to call it bullying?
Well, the challenge here is, from my perspective, as an attorney who deals mostly with employees rather than employers, is to sort out what is simply bullying and what is something which is violation of the law. And what we get down to oftentimes is motivation. Why is this happening? Why is this person treating that person in such and such a way? If I cannot discern a particular motivation which offends the law, the bullying is maybe a problem for the employee, but it's not one that I can give much help to. Or four. That's a management problem or an interpersonal problem, but it's not a legal problem.
So it's a go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree with Mark. It's a management problem. I think the important piece of defining where bullying lies is so that management can decipher where that is, what it is, call it out, and correct it before it becomes a legal problem. As an attorney that deals with mostly companies and management and making sure that those trainings occur, we want to know where those problems are so that we can make sure that we're addressing them up front before they become legal problems, either for the employee, they become an issue in the workplace, which negatively affects productivity, or they get into a legal issue where it becomes very expensive for the company to deal with it. So I think it is important to call it out, define, figure out where that bullying is happening, and then doing something about it.
Yeah, some bosses can be demanding, demeaning, loud. In some cases, this could be just something that an employee either has to put up with or quit.
I would prefer that not to happen. We would like to be able to address it so that that demeaning, hostile, intimidating type of behavior is being addressed through the performance management system internally so that the company can figure out, you know, is there one individual that's having this kind of an issue, behaving negatively or being, you know, towards others. And if we can figure out what that is and address it with that specific individual before it becomes a workplace issue, I think that's in the best interest of the company overall.
It does. Just to make sure I have it clear too, does workplace bullying more often involve peer to peer behavior versus manager and employee interactions?
I think more often it is disparity in power. It's somebody taking advantage of his or her position to belittle or demean another person. There is peer to peer. Situations which can manifest themselves in something called bullying, but I think it's something that requires maybe a different reaction, or will require and result in a different reaction from the employer, because the employer's challenge is to motivate the worker, wants to protect the worker to a certain point. On the other hand, management wants to be free to discipline, encourage, incentivize, call it what you will, inspire its employees, and people do that in different ways. And where do you cross the line? But when it's peer against peer, employer, I think, is more emboldened and freer to simply step in and say, we're not going to tolerate, and they should do that, tolerate this kind of conduct, because they're not coming down on their own manager. So it's more likely to get a result.
So is bullying distinct from sexual harassment? Are they same thing?
Go ahead, Julie.
Go ahead, Julie.
I think the answer to that is yes. When you get across the line into sexual harassment, you're talking about a legal claim. And that is the intimidating, harassing, offensive behavior is directed at an individual because of his or her gender. And that gender piece of it, it's when you start to get into name calling or you get into the touching, when you cross the line into sexual harassment, you are then looking at a potential legal claim. And it is different between peer-to-peer or manager to subordinate if we're talking about sexual harassment. So once you cross that line from a company standpoint, we absolutely need to be addressing it, correcting the behavior and ensuring that employee has been heard, that the behavior has been addressed, and that there's been some corrective action taken against the offending individual.
It doesn't mean that discrimination of some form, whether it's racial, gender, age, whatever it might be, disabilities, cannot manifest itself in bullying. Quite often it does. But now the challenge, at least for an attorney, is to determine whether or not the motivation that drives that behavior, that conduct, that bullying, is motivation which is proscribed, prohibited by law.
Mark, do we have any idea how much economic impact workplace bullying has?
Well, I would certainly defer to Julie on that, but I would imagine it costs the employer money in terms of time, having to retrain and train or hire new employees because they're not getting along. So it certainly has a negative consequence to an employer.
I agree with that. I think that companies definitely see a decrease in productivity. They can see a decrease in the team atmosphere. If there's bullying going on within a department or a certain segment of the organization, you're probably not going to see the same level of results as one that's working harmoniously and clicking on all cylinders. Part of what we try to do is be proactive in managing that, train up front so that you put a little bit into it, make sure everybody knows and understands in that organization what they can do to stop it, how to prevent it, and if it does pop up, to how to address it and bring it to a close so that we can get back to being productive. So I think, again, that proactive aspect of talking about these issues is really important.
We will continue our conversation about bullying in the workplace, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss how to detect, prevent, and resolve workplace bullying are employment attorneys Julie Pugh of Graydon Head Legal Counsel and Mark Mezabov from the law office of Mezabov Butler. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Julie, who typically gets targeted by workplace bullies?
I don't know that there is a typical bullying target. A lot of times it has to do with an individual who may be underperforming, and the manager, rather than dealing with it in a positive, constructive way, begins to use very negative language or attacking that person rather than being a positive about the performance issues. It may also be that bullying starts as a disagreement or a personality conflict, but then it turns into inappropriate workplace conduct, where, again, you're getting into that intimidation, the fear factor, the negative language, the name calling, even to the physical intimidation side of things, where we look at it and say, gosh, that really should not be happening in the workplace. But to say that there's a typical victim, I don't think we can identify who's at risk for being the target of a bully.
So you were saying it could be someone who's underperforming. Could it also be somebody who's performing really well and maybe he's viewed by some of the other employees as being a threat?
Absolutely. Target on the back. And, you know, if there are, I think that's where we get into some of the peer bullying and, you know, others see somebody outperforming or outpacing and become a, it may not be just a peer on peer. It may be one person being targeted by the rest of the department. I think it comes in all shapes and forms.
So, Mark, what are some of the signs that somebody is being bullied? I mean, what are the effects of bullying, and what are some things that people can look for and maybe say, oh, my coworker is going through this?
That's a difficult question to answer. And the reason is because people experience bullying and handle it in different ways. Some people may recoil, take their emotions, draw them inward, and not interact as they might or as they'd like to with their coworkers. Others act out. Others, again, are more sensitive to words, conduct that you or I might just brush off as, oh, the other guy's being a jerk kind of thing. So I think the test that I would use is one that the law uses in certain areas, such as sexual harassment or hostile work environment, which is a legal term. If that work environment is based on a protected status or characteristic, such as race, gender, age, that sort of thing. So the test is simply, is this person responding to this they allege to be bullying behavior as a rational, an objective, normal, reasonable person would react to it? Or are they overreacting to things that you and I, again, might find just to be annoying, but not over some line?
When we do some of our manager training, one of the things we talk about with those managers is recognizing when an employee has a change in behavior. And if an employee who used to be a superstar is all of a sudden underperforming, or an employee who has regular attendance is starting to sporadically miss or be late to work, those changes in behavior can be indicative of a conflict in the workplace that may or may not be bullying or, you know, cross the line into harassment. As a manager, I think it's important to recognize those changes in behaviors and have an open door kind of discussion with that employee to make sure to address it, proactively manage it, ask the question of that employee, hey, is everything okay? Is there something we can do? Is something going on that is affecting your ability to work? And it may be something at work, it may be something outside of work, but recognizing those changes in behaviors and identifying them, talking about them can go a long way to making sure that you don't have an employee turnover who otherwise might have continued on with the company as a stellar performer.
We had someone email us. They asked if you would comment on passive bullying, like exclusion, gossip. You know, what should someone do if you go to HR about something that's borderline and they don't do anything about it? They're just looking for advice on that.
Well, again, to make the situation legally significant, they're going to have to cross a line. And
right now that deals with the protected class, as you mentioned.
It deals with the protected class, but it also deals with, again, the pervasiveness of the conduct and the seriousness of the impact that it's having on an individual. Slights, occasional, even abusive language or unpleasant or insensitive treatment, while it may be received as bullying, may just be that. It's random, it's occasional, and it's just part of a workplace environment, be it good, bad, or indifferent. It's just not every day is sunshine.
One of the things that when we're looking at bullying or mistreatment by omission, One of the things we always look at is there some sort of sabotage going on? Is the individual unable to perform their job functions as a result of the omissions or mistreatment? And when it crosses into keeping somebody from being able to do their job, that's when we really need to make sure we're addressing those behaviors. But if there's an occasion where someone feels like they got left out of a meeting invite, or there were tools that were moved that would otherwise have been necessary, asking the question as to why that happened, I think, is really important to getting to the bottom of that particular incident. And then if it's a repeated incident, if it's a repeated type of behavior, that's when we really need to make sure that we're stopping those issues so that it doesn't turn into a bullying type of situation.
There are some, I'm going to call them diagnostic tools. Courts might call them elements or considerations, but I'm interested in knowing oftentimes if a person is coming in complaining that their manager or supervisor is treating them unfairly and in a way that they report to be bullying, are they the only persons being treated that way? Are they being treated dissimilarly than their similarly situated coworkers? In other words, if you have a group of people, five or six, and you have a manager, and the prospective client is being treated, singled out differently for harsh treatment, disparate treatment, if you will, that's important in analyzing the situation. And then we may go to the second level, and I would go there, and that is, what's the motivation? Why is this person being treated differently than the others? If everybody is situated, similarly situated, they have the same job, they have the same roles, they have the same supervisors, the same rules, the same environment, but for whatever reason, this person is being treated unfairly. That leads us into the discrimination world.
So, Julie, what from what you and Mark have said, it's tough to bring legal action on this. If someone feels like they're being bullied at work, what's the first thing they should do?
Address the situation. If the person feels like there have been mistreatments or that a certain individual is targeting them with inappropriate workplace behavior, the first thing that person should do is address it with the individual. If the person who feels like they are being bullied does not feel comfortable with addressing it one-on-one, they should involve some other member of management. At that point, if we can't address it, we might want to also involve our human resources department or escalate the issue to make sure that that workplace is appropriate, is welcoming, is a place where the job can get done in the time frame that it should.
Well, Julie and Mark, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Employment attorneys Julie Pugh of Graydon Head Legal Counsel and Mark Mezabov from the Law Office of Mezabov Butler. Coming up, keeping tabs on the movers and makers in Cincinnati's nonprofit community. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.